Okay, you wake up at night, you look at the clock and notice that it's 11:11. This happens again the next night and the next, and you think it's a coincidence, don't you? But what if it were happening to millions of others all over the world? Just one of the things we'll talk with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman about, 11:11, the time prompt phenomenon. Let me introduce two people to you. Marie Jones, a metaphysics minister with an extensive background in spiritual studies and the paranormal. She spent 15 years as a field investigator for the Mutual UFO Network in Los Angeles and San Diego, wrote for many paranormal magazines as well, and currently serves as a consultant to the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team. She's the co-author of 11:11, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities, with Larry Flaxman, her partner in paraexplorers.com. Here's Marie Jones. Hi, Marie. Welcome back to Coast to Coast.
Hi. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. And Larry Flaxman, of course, has been actively involved in paranormal research and hands-on field investigating for more than 12 years. And he melds his technical, scientific, and investigative backgrounds together for truly a no-nonsense, scientifically objective explanation regarding the variety of phenomena. He's the president and senior researcher of the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team and of paraexplorers.com, devoted to the exploration of ancient and modern unknown mysteries. Here he is, Larry Flaxman. Larry, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. They think they might have found Atlantis today, but they're just not quite sure.
No. They say that every day.
Yeah, it's 620 miles off the coast of Africa, and somebody spotted it on Google Ocean.
Oh, how funny.
And I guess we have to go down there, though. Maybe.
Yeah, we need to get an expedition together.
Hey, tell me about paraexplorers.com.
Well, it actually is sort of an offshoot of work that Larry was doing with his organization, Our Past. But the two of us got together and decided to partner, and we wanted to do things other than just straight paranormal. You know, when people think of paranormal, they think of ghosts and UFOs and cryptozoology. There's sort of a real, or ESP, there's like a limited branch of things that fall under paranormal. We wanted to sort of go outside the box and write some books and do some exploration that involved things other than that, other unknown mysteries and cutting-edge science and all kinds of strange, anomalous things.
There's so many things happening on this planet, Marie.
There are.
It's exciting. It's an exciting time right now.
It's scary, but yeah, it's also very exciting. I can't, I'm a child of the 60s, and I thought that was a great time, but things are really getting interesting.
Larry, what fuels you in this field? What keeps you going?
You know, I think I've really always had an interest in the unknown, whether it be, you know, UFOs, ghosts, cryptozoology. I've really always had an interest in things that are unexplainable. So I think that's really what keeps me going. There's so many unexplained phenomena that's out there. There's so many questions that I have that are just waiting to be answered. That really is my motivation to continue.
You two have touched a nerve for me with this 11:11 work, the time prompt phenomenon. I have seen this series of numbers now for years. They went away for a while, Marie and Larry, and now they seem to be coming back again, which I find to be strange and unusual. Tell me a little bit. First of all, the subtitle of the book, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, what does that mean?
Well, we were approached from my publisher, actually, New Page Books, with this idea. And we both had heard about time prompts and people that see the same time over and over again, and every time they look at a clock. But we really didn't know that much about it. We started doing research, and we were both just amazed at how many people have been having the same experience of waking up at the exact same time, night after night after night, looking at a clock or looking at anything that has, digits or numbers on it at the exact time over and over again. So it's this sort of synchronistic phenomenon that keeps showing up. And 11:11 seems to be the most popular series of numbers that turns up. And it's funny because I've already gotten about 20 or 30 emails today just from people that knew we were going to be on the show, wanting to tell their stories. And, it's like a year ago, well, maybe a couple of years ago, when I never had any idea that I was going to be writing a book on this, I would have never even imagined.
Well, we'll get to those stories, too. We'll open up the phone lines, and we'll get everyone an opportunity to chat about these strange sequences of numbers here. And, of course, we're going to get your take on what they might mean. You know, it is funny because, you know, you could be sitting down at your computer. You'll look down in the corner where the clock is, and there it is, 11:11.
Right.
Or you'll be driving. You're in your car. You look over. It's 11:11. It seems to be all the time. Now, is this just a series of numbers that you remember? Maybe you're always looking at the clock. Maybe we're always looking at the corner of the computer, but it's the 11:11 that just pops up for us. Is that possible?
We sort of came up, and I don't want to give away too much because I know we'll be taking questions later, but we sort of came up with two very viable theories, and they actually work together. And one is that this is something that's happening from the outside. This is an exterior influence. And there's a reason why these numbers in particular keep popping up in people's lives. And I'm sure you've had a lot of guests on that have talked about guardians and spirits and the 11:11 way showers. So there's this whole system of belief that 11:11 is a very specific time prompt that these angels and guides and guardians are giving us, and it's supposed to mean something, although most of the people that we talked to really didn't know what it meant to them. They couldn't really say. And now on the other hand, it could just be our brains. And one of the things that I learned from Larry is about matrixing, and I can, you know, let him talk a little bit more about that.
Now, and in my particular case, it was so prevalent, and then it went away, and then it came back. Why did it go away, and why did it come back?
You know, maybe your attention was elsewhere. Maybe it's just so hard to say. You know, one of the things that we looked at is that this is our brain, and our brain seeing something maybe once and then seeing it again and then making that neural connection so that now it sees it all the time. And, I mean, that happens to us in our everyday lives. We might not notice something the first time. We might notice it the second time. The third time, yeah, we notice it, and then it becomes ingrained in the brain. And then we start seeing it everywhere. It's like, you know, a big, ugly green Hummer, and I'm not, you know, making fun of Hummers, but, you know, something very specific.
Sure
you are. They're ugly. But anyway, I mean, something that is just very specific. Like, you know, we've talked a lot about why these numbers. Well, think about it. If you constantly looked at your clock and saw that it was 9:30 or 10:30, big deal. Big deal. Those are numbers you're going to notice all the time because we make appointments on the hour. But 11:11, I mean, how often is that going to be popping up in your life?
And I was always told that when you see 11:11, try to remember exactly what you were doing or what you were thinking about when you see. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And a lot of people report waking up and literally looking, and I've done this, you know, where you look at the clock immediately and boom, there it is. And I'm always thinking to myself, you know, darn it, why can't I remember what I was dreaming about? It must have been important. So, yeah, it's definitely trying to get people to pay attention. And unfortunately, it's really hard for us to pay attention.
Okay, now, as we get into this, what did you mean by the matrix?
Larry, you want to address that? Talk about that.
About the matrix?
Matrixing, the brain.
Oh, about matrixing. Yeah. Well, one of the interesting phenomena about the human brain is that it is basically hardwired for pattern recognition. We have an ingrained ability to recognize and delineate patterns and things, and that really kind of goes back to, you know, the caveman times. It's a survival mechanism that we use to determine friend from foe. And you can see it most evidently when you look up in the sky and you see specific shapes in the clouds. Well, obviously those shapes aren't there, you know, whether you're seeing a boat or you're seeing a baby or whatever you see in the sky. But what's happening is your brain is manifesting a visual index, basically, of that. And you're taking something that looks like that, and your brain is creating a pattern from that. And it's basically, that's what matrixing is referred to as. It's also called pareidolia, which is the more scientific term of that. We tend to see that a lot in paranormal investigations and in photographs. A lot of the photographs that we see are very similar to that, where there's something that, you know, it could be something, but more than likely it's maybe just a shadow, but it looks like it could be a person, and your brain automatically goes into into pattern recognition mode, and it attempts to basically fit that paradigm into what you're familiar with.
Interesting. Now, Marie, tell me a little bit about the importance of 1111, in your opinion.
We try to find the origin of this particular time prompt, and there are a lot of references to, you know, obviously 2012, everybody's talking about December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar. And what, you know, what we saw is that 1111 is associated with the time that whatever's going to happen is supposed to happen. And I had a real hard time when I was writing my book 2013, I had a hard time pinpointing the 1111 part, where it came from. It seems to be a much more modern addition to the whole 2012 mythology. But there is this belief that at 1111 universal time, something is going to happen, whether it's our junk DNA awakening and we all transform into these, you know, highly evolved conscious creatures, or the world comes crashing to a halt.
I got an email right before you two came on from someone who said, George, I don't see 1111, but I see 444.
Oh, those are the ones I get, 222, 333, and 444. But again, I think it's the repetition of the numbers that's more important than the actual numbers. Like I said, if you were constantly to look at your watch and see that it's 9:30 or 10:30, you could pass that off as just, well, you know, those are the times I have to be at work. I got to pick up my kid.
Sure.
I got to make a doctor's appointment. But 4:44, 11:11. I mean, I got an email earlier from someone who said 12:12. Those are things that those are off times. You know, they're not on the hour or on the half hour. And they just get your attention much more so than a normal time. And I think that's the point, is that they're supposed to grab your attention. Again, it's like you could go out and drive and see a million white Toyota Camrys. But if you see one that's zebra striped, you're going to remember it. And then if you see another one, there goes the matrix, there goes the pattern recognition, and then you're going to start seeing them everywhere.
So, well, you know, that is so true. You go out and buy a car. Gosh, I remember years ago when we went out and we bought a little Jetta, a little Volkswagen Jetta, about 20 years ago. And heck, we had never seen them on the road before. And as soon as we had picked this one up, all of a sudden we saw them all over the place.
Yep,
all over the place.
When I was a teenager, my first car was an orange Volvo sedan. Now, come on. How many of those do you think? You know, I thought I had the only one. I'll be darned, when I started taking that thing out on the road, they were everywhere.
My father's first cars that he let me use on a regular basis when I was in high school was an orange Mercury.
Ugh.
I don't know why he liked those colors.
Orange cars are just not good.
And you know what? When you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, there aren't many places you can go and hide, Marie.
Exactly.
And Mary. You know,
exactly.
You're in that car and everybody knew. So give me a few stories on people who have talked with you about the, as you call, the time prompt. Have any?
We got quite a few, and we're still getting them. As soon as anybody hears the title of the book, they have a story. Most of them are people who have all their lives, or maybe for the past few years, had a specific number or time prompt always appearing. And they don't really know why. They know that it means something and that it's trying to alert them or get them to pay attention. But I would say the vast majority of people that we talk to are just as confused as we were when we started writing the book. There are some people that say that they've had visits from quote-unquote spirit guides or angels. And those are interesting, you know, because it's almost as if the time prompt kind of gets them to pay attention so that that event can manifest.
Are these time prompts good things? Is this something that people should be excited about when they happen?
I think so. I don't think we've heard from anybody. I know that there have been reports of people that say they've had, like, sleep paralysis episodes or they've seen demons. But when we tried to track those stories down, we really couldn't find any that were negative. I think the worst thing about this is that it annoys people. It annoys people because it's like, you know, God, what is it? If you, come on, God, if you're going to try to tell me something, put it on the
I just kind of laugh about it now. You know, I see it, and I kind of, like, shake my head, and I laugh about it because it happens, it's there, and there's not much you can do about it.
No, no, but for me now, and I think, you know, Larry will tell you the same thing, we are much more aware of them now. We have them all the time, and I think I'm, you know, I don't know if Larry's going through this, but I'm kind of stopping now. When I see a time prompt or when I see a specific number or even words, it doesn't even have to be numbers, that show up again and again throughout my day.
Does it cross age boundaries? Do we see more of these numbers as we get older?
Larry, you want to?
Yeah. No, I really don't think so. I think it's very much a gender and age neutral phenomena. I mean, when we were doing the research for the book, we had found stories from pretty much everyone across the board. I don't think it's very specific to a particular age range at all.
No, and my son, who's 7 now, constantly, and again, this speaks to the idea that once the brain sees something and kind of grabs hold of it, it keeps showing up because he'll, you know, Mommy, it's 11:11. Mommy, look, 11:11. And he never did that before. But I know why he's doing it. He's doing it because he went through the process of writing the book with me, you know, being my child. But I do think that that's important, that as soon as you become aware of something and you embrace it, and this may speak to paranormal phenomena as well, as soon as you become, you make that first connection, that first neural pathway is opened up, then you start to see it all the time. And maybe with the paranormal, the problem is that most people don't ever make that first neural connection.
You've got some interesting photographs on the cover of 11:11. You've got
a
couple
are neat, huh?
Lightning bolts that look like 11, Stonehenge that looks like 11. Somebody's got a tattoo of 11:11 on that. You didn't have the Twin Towers up there because that, too, looks like an 11:11.
No. And, you know, we have to... the publishing company, they have a person who designed the cover, and I think Larry agrees with me. I think they did a great job. It is so eye-popping. But no, I think that would have, you know, been a negative.
A negative, but there's a meaning behind that, too.
Well, yeah, there is, but I think that's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough one.
There's something. Does any of this tie into the Mayan calendar end date of December 21st, 2012?
Just the fact that there are mentions of the number, you know, again, of 11:11 being the time that whatever's going to happen will happen, and also that that we're being prompted, and the reason why there are more 11:11 experiences happening now, I know they go back decades because I know people that have had them 20, 30 years ago, but they seem to be increasing now. And again, one of the theories is that as we move closer towards 2012, more and more people are going to be alerted. More and more people are going to be asked to wake up and to pay attention.
Tell me about your thoughts when we come back from the break, of course, on synchronicity. In this book, 11:11, where do you get it?
Everywhere. It's out in all brick-and-mortar bookstores and on all online bookstores. And if you go to your bookstore and they don't have it, order it. Have them order it.
I wonder if there's a bookstore out there with an address 11:11 someplace.
Oh, that would see. We should do a big book signing there.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be great. Yeah.
What's your main website?
They can go to www.paraexplorers.com, and that's PARAExplorers.com.
Okay, very good. We'll be back in just a moment. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Our guest tonight, Marie Jones, Larry Flaxman, talking about their work, 11:11, the time prompt phenomenon. And also, let's get behind the meaning of some of these synchronicities as well. We'll be right back. I want you to mark your calendar, Feb 28. If you live in Vancouver, Canada, well, you know that's where I'm going to be at a major speaking event put on by our tremendous affiliate, 410 The Big Talker, up there. If you happen to live in Seattle, Tacoma, Portland, Spokane, come on up as well if you want to. There's information on this entire event, which will be at the River Rock Show Theater in Richmond, part of Vancouver there, by going to coasttocoastam.com. Click the schedule. Just click it right there. The schedule there. It'll take you right to the link. And come see me. Whitley Strieber will be there. Catherine Austin Fitz. We're going to do a live program Saturday night for the Vancouver market. But if you're in the audience, you'll be able to hear it as well. 11:11, the time prompt phenomenon with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman. Marie, is there a science behind this, behind these numbers?
There could be, although before we answer it, we want to let you know that Larry did find a bookstore that is on 1111 Main Street in Nebraska.
I love it.
We're not going to go to Nebraska. Well, maybe we will if they invite us. It's a Barnes & Noble.
They should.
1111.
That's cool.
Yep. So there you go.
Yep.
There is. There could very well be. I kind of believe there's a science behind everything. And synchronicity is something that we looked at very seriously. And that's the idea that there are things that link the subjective with the objective worlds. And, Carl Jung was sort of the forefather of synchronicity. And it's this idea that events happen that seem to be meaningful coincidences. And yet, if we look at quantum theoretical physics and we start looking at some of the ideas of such things as like the zero-point field, where you have this field that connects everything, the web of connectedness that David Bohm speaks of, which
yes.
is orders of reality, the implicate order, that there is a basis, a scientific basis for the fact that, first of all, there's no linear time, past, present, and future is all there in that field. So when events happen that seem to be coincidental or synchronistic, we think to ourselves, this is impossible. How could this happen? But when you've got this entire field of information that contains within it past, present, and future, anything can happen. I mean, it is not impossible for events to match up that way. There is a law, however, that we looked at called the law of truly large numbers that sort of negates that. And that law states that when you have a big enough sampling of people or a big enough sampling of objects, you're bound to have connectedness, you're bound to have synchronicities. But I think we all see enough of them in our lives to know that there is something profound about them. And I think that we apply the meaning. They may not have meaning, they may just happen the way they happen, but we're the ones that imply the meaning to them.
Now, what do you mean by your definition of synchronicity?
Synchronicity for me it occurs when two events happen that seem like there's no way they should ever happen together, or two events happen that are just so they happen so quickly. For example, you might be thinking of your, old Uncle George that you haven't talked to in 30 years, and the phone rings and there he is. He's decided to reconcile with
mm-hmm.
you. Events that happen that we do not see the cause and effect part of it. We see the effect, but we don't see the cause, because that's happening on a different order. That's happening on the implicate order that David Bohm speaks of. That's happening maybe on that zero-point field level. But we're seeing the outer effects of it, and we say, holy, whatever, how did that happen? And yet it could be something that's just purely scientific.
Well, the fact that it does happen, we all know it happens, and we've all gone through this, and when we take the phone calls, we'll find out how much people have gone through this. It doesn't seem to end, Marie and Larry. These synchronicities just continue to, get better and better and stronger and stronger. How much happens to be psychic ability of somebody, their intuitiveness? Does that play a part?
Larry, why don't you speak on that one?
That's an interesting question. We really didn't do a whole lot of research into the psychic aspect of the phenomena, but just sitting here thinking about it, I mean, it definitely could be some type of affiliation between the two. I'm not certain.
The synchronicities, though, must have at least two involved as opposed to just one.
Well, right, if something happens once, big deal.
Sure.
But if it happens twice, and the more it happens, the more it causes you to step back, take notice, and apply meaning to it. And, psychic abilities, if, again, we can sort of interchange the word synchronicity with that idea that your old Uncle George that you haven't heard from in 30 years calls the second you think of him. You haven't even thought of him in 30 years.
Now, that may only happen one time, but that's still pretty remarkable.
It is. So a synchronicity, but it has to be two events. I mean, it has to be linking two different events. But if it were to happen again, I mean, if you were to, like, the next day be thinking about your dear Aunt Sue, who you haven't heard from in 15 years.
And she calls.
Then I would seriously think you might be psychic.
Okay, and also, though, what's happening? Are we picking up on dear old Aunt Sue ready to make the phone call in what I've always called this wireless connection that we're all hooked into? Or are we as individuals making these things happen?
Wow.
Are we sending thoughts?
Huh?
Are we sending thoughts into the aunt? And she calls. She thinks of us because something hits her in the brain and she goes, God, I haven't called George in a long time.
Exactly. She just all of a sudden has this prompting to call.
Is that possible?
Sure. Sure. And Larry and I are big proponents of what we call the zero-point grid. We refer to it more as a grid than a field because to us, reality has all these different levels, and we can access some we can't, some we're just starting to learn how to access. So if all of the information of every event, every thought, every action is out there in that grid, past, present, and future, first of all, we have the ability to access it, and I think some people have more of an ability than others. It's also true that the person at the other end has that same ability. So if you suddenly think about this person, they could be very well getting that information from the grid or from the field at the same time. And that's what prompts them to call. So, yeah, definitely. I think, again, it's that web of connectedness. We look at the Internet. I mean, we accept that concept of the fact that we're all globally, we're connected now to everybody in the world through the Internet. Yet on a more quote-unquote psychic level, the same could be true via the zero-point grid, or Edgar Cayce referred to it as the Akashic field, the morphogenic, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's just that other order of reality that David Bohm spoke of.
These powers and numbers that people see every day, why numbers? I mean, we've just talked about the phone synchronicities, for example, and I'm sure there are many others. But why numbers, too? What do the numbers play in this?
Well, they say that music is the language of the universe, but Larry and I kind of learned in our research that math is numbers.
There's a geometry here.
They're behind every measurement. Larry, if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Well, you know, numbers really are such an integral part of everything that it's, you know, it's really a natural thing, you know, whether it's binary, whether it's, you know, zeros and ones, you know, numbers are such a part of our lives that it seems like that is probably one of the most common or one of the most noticeable, I guess you would say, things. I think we tend to see the numbers a lot more often just because of the fact that they are so prevalent in our lives.
I want to get both your takes on this then. When we see 11-11... Larry, what do you think this means?
Well, you know, I've actually struggled with that for an answer. One of the things, before we actually decided to do the book, as far as a personal experience, I've had time pump phenomena throughout my life, but I never really thought too much about it. It was one of those things, like, as we had mentioned before, it was more of an annoyance more than anything.
Sure.
It was,
oh, by the way, just passing
yeah,
by.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, oh, by the way kind of stuff. But, you know, I think there's definitely some legitimacy to it. I think whether the number is 11-11, whether it's 12-12, 222, whatever, I think there is definitely a correlation between that and between our consciousness and between our, I don't really want to say worldview, but our view of the outside and perhaps inside worlds as well. So, you know,
Marie, yeah. your take?
You know, it's funny. I just thought of something while Larry was talking. I think one of the reasons why 11-11 is so popular is because it's popular. And I'm a firm believer in the contagion theory that when and tipping points and critical mass and all those things, that when something becomes a little more prominent than something else, that it explodes. I mean, look at YouTube. There's a perfect example. There's been other video things on the Internet, but that one took off.
MySpace, look what it did.
Exactly.
Facebook now.
So maybe what we're dealing with is the fact that there's, you know, it's like the 100th monkey had the 11-11 experience, and then it just exploded and took off. And that may be why those particular numbers are so important. I will tell you, you know, like Larry said, I've had these experiences too, but never with 1111 until I started writing the book. So it's almost like the contagion. I got infected.
Yep.
And then my son did. And then, you know, my friends now, they just love to bug me. Oh, it's 1111.
Everybody has seen it.
Who, right.
Whoever right. I talk to, they're all seeing this now.
So you have to wonder how much of that is this sort of infectious quality that ideas have, you know, collective consciousness. It just sort of spreads like a computer virus.
However, what does it mean when someone sees the other numbers more than 1111?
Now, this is something Larry and I again struggled with. What is more important? Is the fact that they're having the time prompts more important or the actual numbers? And
good point.
It really seems like the prompts themselves are more important. The fact that you're being alerted to pay attention.
Could
to
be 333-666. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but because... You know, I mean, maybe Larry has a different opinion, but it just seems that when people struggle to try to understand what the numbers meant, they couldn't get it, but they could get the fact that they were being shaken awake. Oh, my life's been crap lately. You know, I hate my job, blah, blah, blah. And they have these time prompts that sort of remind them to maybe live in the present, or they sort of jar them into a different state of awareness. And I think that becomes more important than the actual digits themselves.
How close is this to numerology?
We have a whole chapter on numerology, very close. I mean, we are talking about the fact that, as you know, Pythagoras said, all is number. Everything comes down to math, and I know people that hated math in school don't want to hear that, but really, numbers seem to be the language that reality speaks. I mean, even on a more cosmological or astronomical level, it all comes down to numbers. And what numerology did is simply took numbers and turned it into a system of divination, much like astrology.
Well, I'm going to do this, which, you know, I was doing on a little sporadic basis, but when I start seeing 1111, I'm really going to start writing down what I was doing or what I was thinking about that time. Because it's, you know, it's very possible that our thought process keys us into this 1111 too. Maybe it wants us to be more aware of what we were thinking about.
Maybe it's just prompting us to slow down.
Or to think a little harder.
Yeah. Be in the present moment. You're right.
And pay attention regardless.
Well, exactly. In everything you do, you know, whether you're driving a car or just these numbers pop up, you know, pay attention and follow through, especially during these times where more people are under stress.
Right, and we're bombarded with information. We are overwhelmed with information. The vast majority of it, you know, we don't need. We're just so survival-oriented right now, yet something is telling us, wait a minute, you got to pay attention.
Do you think,
because this is life.
Do you think these time prompts are growing than, let's say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Yeah, I do. Once the book is around, I'm sure they'll grow even more. But, yeah, and I think one of the reasons is, again, that the popularity thing, the whole contagion thing is happening. But the times, just like you said, when we've got stressful times, when people are under duress, they have to be reminded more that they only have one life to live. They better live it the best way they can. And if this is what the universe, quote unquote, needs to do to shake them up, it's going to happen more and more. I think during times when everything was calm and wonderful and people had the time to really live their lives, they probably weren't that common.
There's no question about it that, we're being challenged at this time. And I wonder if these numbers have anything to do with it. Do you think 50 years ago people saw 1111 on clocks?
What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think they probably did, to be honest. I think that they're probably, the phenomena has probably been around probably forever. But I think our awareness of it may be what has been increasing throughout the past couple of decades. You know, especially with, as you mentioned, the current climate of the world. I think people are definitely starting to pay more attention to those things. But no, I think it's probably been around. We've just haven't had the need, perhaps, to be as cognizant of it as we are now.
Yeah, I'm here in Los Angeles, and sometimes I look up at our special clocks we have here, and it says 1111. This time I went right through it. Now, that's weird.
You were so engrossed in the present moment of what you were doing, though.
I looked up, and it says 11:53 and a half, and I went,
Right.
Where'd my 1111 go to?
You had no need to be prompted.
We're going to take phone calls next hour, and people are rolling in already, by the way, with these incredible stories of 1111. And, you know, I guess we should find out what were they doing when they saw these numbers, huh?
I think that's critical. I'm going to start doing the same thing, just really writing down everything I can remember.
We talked about a little bit about geometry, but how important is that to the scheme of things?
Well, we wrote a lot about sacred geometry because, again, this is the idea that there's sort of a divine influence on the layout of certain buildings and temples and monuments, and that, again, number and measurement had much more of a profound meaning than just, oh, build that wall 6 feet high and put this 5 inches to the left. Sacred geometry really speaks to the divine nature of numbers.
It's like, as you both believe, the universe is a huge computer.
Yeah, it really seems that way.
With I wonder how many megabytes of memory.
and does it crash?
Oh God! I
does
hope
it
not.
Crash? Exactly. I still want to know who's putting the software into it.
Yeah, who's the programmer? Yeah. That's the ultimate question, though, that everybody's trying to answer. You know.
Is there a danger behind these numbers at all? Does anybody ever report problems behind it?
Larry, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say, I don't think that there's really, I don't think there's a danger in the numbers. I think that there's probably more of a danger, I guess you would say, in ignoring the numbers, really, more than anything. Throughout our research for the book, we never really came across any stories of anyone having any doom and gloom encounters revolving around numbers. But, you know, as we talked about before, if the numbers truly are a wake-up call, perhaps, to something, an event, what have you. I think we probably run more of a risk in not paying attention to the numbers.
Were they primarily, if you say like a wake-up call, is there any correlation between 1111 and the ability to see into the future? Does anybody have that ability?
Wow, that's an interesting question. That's one I haven't thought too much about. Marie, do you have
I'm just wondering if people are more tuned into those.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that if the people that are becoming more aware of this, obviously, you know, if we want to talk about conscious evolution, I think they're going to be at the forefront. The more aware you are of these, I think the more open you're going to be to other types of abilities, including those that we call paranormal. And again, it's all of, I think the two most important words of the next 5 years are going to be pay attention.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously something or somebody or what have you is trying to tell us to do that. So obviously the people that have sort of caught on to that and are already paying attention and maybe writing down what's happening or taking notice of what's going on when this happens, they may be opening themselves up to greater psychic abilities, if you want to call it that, or just really, to me, predicting the future is just tapping into the field.
Okay, up next, we'll take your phone calls with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman next on Coast to Coast AM.